It was wonderful. And they'll be ministering again tomorrow morning, the Lord's willing. Are you ready? Yes. Sister Glazer, we're all ready.
Thank you. Gracias, Señor. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You don't want to disturb that holy presence in the room. I've been doing a lot of sharing, but I think tonight I want to do some teaching. I know you have an excellent teacher, and you also have Brother Campbell, who's a good teacher. But I think tonight I want to do a little instruction. Whew. I'm so very aware of the presence of God in the room, it makes it hard to breathe because His thick presence is here. So I think I want to start out by talking about His wonderful presence in the beginning, but let's welcome Him. I know He's always here, but I really believe in protocol. Proper honoring and protocol is part of our culture. And we honor the house. We honor the wonderful leaders of the house. Brother Campbell, Brother and Sister Campbell, such a blessing. Kenny and Pat. Is your last name really Rogers? Wow, okay, I thought they were just teasing me. Jack and Tamara. No, Sandy. No. It is Sandy. Ah, right. Hey. At my age, it's really good if I can remember my own name. And Sean, where's Sean? Hey, Sean. Worship was good. Where's your beloved? Tamara. All right. Tammy. Good. I want to welcome all of you of the house, but I really want to extend a very, very special welcome to the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We are not ashamed of you. We're proud of you, Holy Ghost. You do well. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of the way you love us. I'm thankful for the way you guide us. Oh, I'm thankful. I'm so grateful for the way you deliver us. I'm so thankful you built a stupid factor into the program to cover my mistakes. Thank you for that. Oh, my goodness, I'm grateful for that. Whew, He's good. I'm thankful, Holy Ghost, that you don't expect me to be perfect because the perfect one dwells within me, and that's enough. I'm thankful. You are welcome here, Holy Ghost. You are our teacher. Teach us tonight. Holy Spirit, teach us tonight. Unlock our ears. Remove the dullness from our ears. Awaken our hearts to hear you. Breathe on us afresh, that fresh breath of life. Breathe on us tonight. Awaken us again tonight to fresh revelation. I ask that you speak to every soul here, that they will hear from you a specific word for them, that which you have for them tonight. Let them hear it, and let them see it and understand it. Let them perceive when you barely move upon them. Let them become alert and recognize you. I ask for recognition. I ask you send recognition upon your people tonight, that they would hear from you and be increased and blessed and changed, because you are our change agent. I welcome you. I welcome you. I welcome you. Come, Holy Spirit, have your way with us. Have your way with us. Have your way with us. Would you please turn with me to Genesis 1? I want to just start with a little bit of introduction here. I feel to speak to you about seasons because I want you to recognize not only the season that our nation is in, but your season. There are different seasons in the Lord. There are different times when we come into a place where something is shifting. And I'm sensing a massive shift taking place right now. God is closing off some old things behind us, and he's opening up something new and fresh. And that can be a little scary, especially if you don't see exactly what is ahead of you, but you can tell certain things are starting to lose its fire, or it's losing its emphasis, or it's an old way and you can feel that it's old, but you don't know where the new is. That transition period is really a scary place. It's like you've launched from the dock and you don't know where you're going, but your ship is sailing out there anyway, boldly, going where no man can go. For all of you Trekkies, there are a few of you in the room. Genesis 1, listen to this. It's so familiar. You know, sometimes when a scripture becomes real familiar, our minds automatically fill in the blank. Okay, she goes to Genesis 1. Oh, yeah, that's the creation place. That's okay. But I'm going to challenge you a little bit to go deeper, because every time the word is preached, God changes you with the word. The word of God isn't just a string of words together, a string of English or a string of Yupik or whatever language that you function with. It actually has power to change you. If you've heard a scripture 1,000 times and suddenly someone reads that old familiar scripture 1,001 time and suddenly you're changed. God has, it's a miracle. God does something to change us from the inside out, and he uses the power of the word to do it. And I think we tend to live way, way below the power of the word that's available to us. And if we could understand what he has locked up in the word, we would be devouring it day and night. We would be so hungry for it. Sometimes, especially when we've been a Christian for a long time, we lose that sharpness of the word, that sharp hunger for the word. Now, how many of you have been a Christian for more than 50 years? Okay, there are a few of us in the room. Yay! Hallelujah. Anchors, pillars. The danger with us is that we have heard the word preached hundreds, if not thousands, of times, and we're very familiar with Genesis 1:1. We could cite it with our eyes closed. But I want you to open your heart to receive something different here. I want you to look at this word through the eyes of heaven. God's eyes, who are looking upon our unformed substance, this earth, that was without form and void. I mean, it was just a shapeless mass. There are many planets right now that are in this state, this gaseous, unformed state. Some of the planets have this cloud cover. You can't even see the surface of the planets. So we have no idea what the planet is like. But for some of the planets, the poisonous gas is so dangerous that we could not survive on it. In other planets, there's such a fiery surface we could not survive on it. But somehow, in all of creation, the Spirit of God was hovering over the third planet from this little star, our sun, and that's where we start the journey. In the beginning. Now, was it God's beginning? God has no beginning and no end. I can't even comprehend that. My pea brain is too small. I've tried. Have you ever tried? I told the Lord one time, because he told me I could ask him for anything. And remember, I told you that was a very dangerous promise he gave me. So I asked him, Father, take me to the edge of singularity where you create stars so I can see your creation. Whew. Glory to God. I want that. So what does he do? I'm watching TV one night, and here comes a special on the universe, and they showed the birthplace of the stars. They showed where stars were being birthed and how the planets were. It was the most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful scientific presentation. And instantly I remembered my prayer. So I modified my prayer somewhat. Father, I want to go there with you. Is there any prayer too big? God told me a long time ago by an elderly lady in Kodiak, Alaska, this island of bears and fish and Coast Guard men. He told me that I was asking too small. I think you're asking too small. I think you need to break out of the box and begin to ask for creation things. Things that are burning on your heart. Things you want to know about. Some of you are called as such musicians, you want to hear the songs of heaven. You want to hear what angels are singing. You want to create. It is an easy thing for God to give that to you. He can speak to you in the night. He can send angels to serenade you in your bedroom. Yes. Whole choir of angels. That's an easy thing for him. You are asking too small. I want to stretch you a little bit to think beyond the borders. I'm not telling you to go wild, but I'm telling you to expand and grow. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God, I love that, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost of God, the one who was in the beginning with God, the one who is one with God, the one who is God. God is a spirit. And that holy, unformed substance of God, called the Spirit, began to hover. The word hover means to flutter. Some of your translations say brood. Whoo. Some of you are farmers. You know what a hen does. Brood. That's what it means. He was hovering. Brood. What does brooding produce? Eggs. Life. That's what that word brooding means. It literally means to flutter. Or to move, or to shake, to cherish. Oh, how he loved this planet. To grow soft. It suggests fertilizing. He was fertilizing this unformed substance of our world. Now, we know the world as it is today. But back then, it was an unformed substance, and it took the brooding of the Spirit to bring out of nothing something. God is very good at creating something out of nothing. Sometimes we don't give him enough nothing to create things. Come on. It's okay to tell him, I am nothing. I have nothing. Please brood upon me and create something out of this nothing. Come on. It's okay to be nothing. Because that's the substance God uses to create. And oh, listen, he's giving an example here. He brooded over the formless void darkness, the surface of the deep. And listen, that word darkness means misery, destruction, ignorance, death, sorrow, wickedness. Whenever those are evident, God wants to hover and brood over that. He specializes in turning dark things into light. God is attracted to dark places. We tend to run from dark places. God is attracted to dark places because that's where he does his deep work. That's where he does that mysterious work of creation, where he hovers and flutters. And he'll do that in the most wicked, wicked life because he specializes in that. I shared with some of the team yesterday about Abraham George, who was raised from the dead in Alaska. Yupik Eskimo man. He was so wicked that when he had his accident and died, the village safety officer, which is the village police officer, was hoping he would not survive because he was such a brutal man. Dark. He didn't even know who Jesus was. Didn't know what heaven was. He called it the beautiful place. He didn't know about hell. He didn't know what hell was. Didn't believe in it. And God chose that man to pour out his glory. It just blows my mind that he would do that. Why didn't he choose a good man? You know, we think the good are the ones that need to be saved, need to be delivered. And I'm all for the good coming into their blessing. But somehow God is attracted to darkness. There is no family too far gone, no person too far gone that he cannot save. And I have watched again and again in families when God will choose the most wicked family member and pour out his grace and begin to draw them to Jesus. And they're the ones. You know, in every family, God caused someone to come into salvation. And they're the ones that are like an anchor to bring the light into that family. Whoa. In my family, I'm part Haida Indian from Alaska. My Indian name is Hilingjat, which means Thunder Woman. My grandmother was born again, and she had a prayer meeting and gave every one of us our names. But out of this background, we had so many of our family members were just drunks. And God decided to save an aunt of mine. She's staggering down the street in Ketchikan. God bless you, Auntie. She's with Jesus now. But she was staggering down the streets of Ketchikan, and some believing couple moved to Ketchikan and decided to pray. They just set up a house of prayer. They took a rough piece of wood and they painted house of prayer and nailed it over their front door. Then they went out looking for somebody to pray for. And they found this drunk lady staggering down the street and brought her home, fed her, began to pray over her in this strange language. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, I love you. The power of God. Holy Ghost. He can not only change the darkest heart, he doesn't stop with just one. When he saves one, he's targeting the whole family. He saved that one aunt of mine. She got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, instantly sober, and she went out and got my mother. Everybody was afraid of my mother. I mean, she was full-blooded Haida warrior. Haidas are warriors. Fierce warriors. Scary warriors. My aunt said, never marry a Haida, Mary. My mother came to Christ. Then my other aunt. Then my uncle, who I had never seen sober one day in my life, he always told me he was going to drink himself into the grave. That was his goal. But his sisters had a different plan. They met the Holy Ghost. And he began to hover. He began to brood. And they believed him. They were like little children. They believed him within 1 year. 1 year. Uno. 60 family members were saved, delivered, and filled with the Holy Ghost. 60! Woo! Aunts and uncles. And you know what my mom and dad did? Now, my dad was my stepfather, was a great big Irishman. He was about 6'4", precious guy, but he was extremely shy. And he and my mother went down to the bar after they got saved, Shamrock Bar. And they stood outside the bar, and they began to sing their new choruses. They only knew a few. Simple choruses. They began to sing at the bar door. And when people would step out the bar door, my dad would begin to read them scripture. Scripture after scripture after scripture. They were brand new Christians. My dad was terrified to do it. But he loved God so much, he wanted to do what he could do. And that's what he did. They started taking these drunks home, feeding them, sobering them up, leading them to Jesus. All of you have a calling on your life. The Holy Spirit is fluttering and hovering upon you. And not just for you to keep it to yourself. But he wants you to be the one who stands in the gap for your family. You're the one that will make a difference so your family does not end up in hell. Hell is real. Let me tell you, when I heard Abraham George talk about his experience in hell, and this is a Yupik Eskimo man who doesn't have Christianese, he's just describing what he saw. He was as astonished as we were. But boy, I'll tell you what, the fear of God fell in that room. You should have seen all the Christians that raced to the altar to repent. Yeah. Because all of a sudden, hell became very real to them. Instead of a concept, a Christian place to avoid. It was a place you wanted to run from and run to God and make sure your life was okay with God. And listen, God wants your life not to just be okay with him. He wants you to have a personal relationship with him. He created you for a reason. Before you were born, he spoke your name and suddenly you were conceived. Out of the billions of sperm cells, sperm that was released, only one fertilized the egg that made you. God called forth that one. You are called forth by name. And the moment God spoke his name, there you were. The egg was fertilized. You are not an accident. It doesn't matter how you were conceived. You are not an accident. God has a plan for you or you would not be here. He called your name for a purpose. He planted you here for a purpose. And in this scripture, here he is hovering and releasing life. Verse 3, then God said, whew, boy, I love this scripture. Let there be light. And there was light. That phrase, let there be, is a creation word. It's a Hebrew word, H-A-Y-A-H, Haya. It's the same scripture that's used in Exodus 3:14, when Moses is receiving instruction to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses is questioning. He doesn't know if he can do this thing. It's a huge task. And who's going to believe him? I mean, you know, he'd been on the backside of the desert for 40 years. Who even knows who he is? So he said to God, whom shall I say has sent me? And God said to him, Haya. It means I am. That I am. So here in Genesis 1 verse 3, when he was speaking this scripture here, when he was speaking these words, he was literally saying, I am light. And instantly, in this creation that was being formed, light was released. There was no sun created yet, no moon created, no stars created. This light was God. He was releasing a part of his divine nature into our creation. Therefore, this planet, this old planet, was birthed by the breath of God, infused with his DNA. That's why he could kneel down and begin to shape man out of the dust of the earth, because that dust had already been infused with his divine DNA. It was also already pregnant with life. It just took God kneeling. Isn't that an amazing thought? The God of the universe would kneel in the dust of this old earth to form this man and make his mud man. And he knew that mud contained life. He knew. Because he'd already said, let there be light. He already released from his mouth his divine DNA into the very soil of this earth. So then when he breathed into Adam, that which contained life woke up and became a living soul. When we come to Jesus Christ, we've already been in existence. I was young before I came to the Lord. I still was living, breathing, walking, moving, laughing, but I wasn't alive in here. But the minute I received Jesus, it activated and caused a new life to enter in. I became a new creation. I was never the same. I couldn't undo it. I simply was born again. I was a new creature. I was different. And let me tell you, everybody knew I was different. I couldn't go back to being the way I was before. I was changed. And not only that, I've learned over the years, that's just the beginning. In the beginning. See, that was the beginning place. When the Spirit began to hover. Listen to what that word Spirit means. It's Ruah. It's a creative word of God. It's a prophetic spirit. It's the divine breath. This is my favorite one. It's the invisible, intangible quality of air. Yeah. You feel that? Little subtle shift. It's like everything suddenly gets quiet. Even your spirit quiets because God is here. He's making his presence known to you. That's what he does. That's how real he is. And this is the glory we have of being connected with this God who said that we could ask for anything in his name. Who said, if you only believe, all things are possible to those who believe. And when you recognize who he is in the beginning, then you will know who he is in the end. Because what he began in the beginning, by the Spirit, he will end in the end by the Spirit. Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost come. suddenly at the end, it's the bride and the spirit functioning as one. Now they are speaking as one. That's you. You and the spirit. You are calling people in to salvation. You're calling people out of darkness into light. You have that authority in God. That's the journey we are on. And as you recognize more and more who you are in Him and who He is in the world, and you believe it, you choose to believe it, you will do greater and greater works. So many times we think the greater works belongs to everyone else except us. Or, in my case, I always felt disqualified. I didn't feel, I didn't come from the right background. I had a problem when I was called to ministry. I was a woman. God knew I was a woman. But not everyone else was pleased with God's choice. And to make that worse, I was a native Alaskan, a Haida. Who calls a Haida? That's sort of like the Lord saying, or the scripture saying, can anything good come out of Nazareth, right? Can anything good come out of the Haida nation? Well, if God chooses, yes. He chose you. He did. He chose you. Therefore, whether you like it or not, you are chosen. And because you are chosen, you have a destiny. And there will come a day when you stand before the Lord, and the Lord will say, what did you do with that destiny I gave you? I won't answer for you. You will answer for you. Now, please, don't put yourself under condemnation, but make a choice. No matter what, I choose to fulfill my destiny. I choose. How many of you choose right now? All right, Father, you see those hands raised? In Jesus' name, I pray right now that they will fulfill their destiny. I call forth their destiny in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua, you are going to lead many people to Jesus Christ. God has given you an army. I just see an army being raised up. He's put evangelism in your belly. And God says He's going to use you to declare. And people will suddenly open their eyes and come to Jesus. Don't worry about those that resist. You've got people who resist you. That doesn't matter. You stand up and speak the word of the Lord. The power of God is in your mouth. Let the power of God come out. They won't let you know it's piercing, but it's piercing their heart. And the day will come and they'll come back and say, do you remember when you said this? And they will have turned. The darkest, hardest heart will turn. He's called you to go to some real hard places. People whose hearts are just resistant to you. They don't even like you. But is that right? Yes. But God has sent you there because you're carrying life in you. Give that life out. Don't even turn aside because of their faces. Make your forehead like flint. He's made your forehead like flint. That you will not turn aside because of their faces. Because you are called as an evangelist of the Most High God. And you will lead many to righteousness. It's going to get easier. You're going to have more and more people coming to Jesus. Oh, yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah.